Warning, this broadcast is 100% real, unpredictable, unscripted, and may be disturbing to some listeners. Discretion is advised. The Para-X Radio Network and the staff of Conversations with the Dead are not responsible for listeners of this channeled content. You have been warned.
Welcome to Conversations with the Dead. This is Bonnie Vent, your host on this journey. These broadcasts and the analysis that follows are quite possibly the largest field experiment on the net. Please welcome my co-host and fellow researcher, John Strife.
Bonnie Vent is a spirit advocate who has for years been in touch with another dimension and its residents. They have sought her help for various reasons, whether recently deceased or having left the physical world over a century ago. Now, here's Bonnie Vent and The Connection.
To all that hear, observe, and potentially look at this text at a later date. We are very happy to be joining you today. And as some of you may be aware, things are becoming a little bit more trying in your sets of circumstances on a personal basis. And we are here to perhaps answer questions that you may have as it relates to the transition process. And we are more than happy to get into this dialogue with you during this time. We are aware via the channel that you are observing many things in your environment that could be conceived as fearful or disturbing. We have said on other occasions that there will be large portions of people transitioning all at the same time. There is certainly a potential right on the horizon now. We do not wish to alarm anyone, and to us, this is a very natural process and not fearful in any way. But we do recognize that to some of you that this might be a scary proposition. We would suggest that you stay informed, but please stay away from fear. Watch your thoughts. Your thoughts can and will manifest into your reality, and being fearful will actually attract and draw things to you that you may not desire. So you need to be practical, but also please attach on to whatever spirituality you may have and rise above whatever circumstances are challenging you as of this day and as the days move ahead. We would also like to make a special acknowledgement. We are aware via this channel that Hans Holzer has transitioned. We would like to acknowledge his great accomplishments in the third dimensional reality, and we are happy to have him back and happy that he is now home. Please do not be concerned about his welfare. He is completely fine, and he has started through the transition process, and he actually started a little bit before his exit, and he is completely fine, and we are so glad that so many people followed his work, and we hope that you will find some comfort in this, that he is not truly gone, that he is in existence still, and has the same curiosity and has no constraints of physical illness anymore, which should be very comforting to family members as well. So please know that he is fine and all is well. At this point, we would like to open up for any and all questions that the chat room may have or that John may have. So we will now turn this over to John.
And thank you very much indeed for that. Again, just to reiterate, we are having some technical issues today with Ustream. If you wish to ask a question, you may type it into the chat box. You may see a login prop up, And if you see that pop up, simply press the cancel button and your message should appear in the chat box. That's for only, for, of course, for you who are watching it live. Those who are watching it in archive, obviously there is no chat functionality. As a reminder, you also may send email messages between broadcasts to us, and we'll ask them on the next broadcast. We'll tell you how to do that at the end of the broadcast today. Let's begin by kind of following on what the connection was saying there. And it has been said that planet Earth is of immense importance to all dimensions. Some have even indicated it's one of, for example, 12 planets to be so. And some others have called Earth the prison planet. What is going on here? Can you expand upon that a little bit?
There is great importance to what happens in your third dimensional reality. We would hesitate to put the negative connotation of prison planet, because that really would be of your own making should that actually occur. There is potential for this, and we do need to caution you that you do need to make sure to spread these messages around to people that you care about. Now is not the time to be unconscious, and people need to wake up to their surroundings and rise above some things that are coming down the road that could be perceived as negative in nature. We make no judgments on this, but we know that you do. And we also know that you would rather avoid pain if at all possible. So we suggest that you adjust perception. As far as the importance in the universe, obviously this is an area of great learning, this particular planet and this particular dimension where you reside. And there are many that observe what goes on here. But they are observing from a researcher point of view. There is no particular emotion involved with this observation from those that observe from that distance. We try to bridge the gap between the two, and you may notice with this channel that there is emotion and there is concern for your well-being. And once again, we do not want to alarm or cause any fear. Quite the opposite. We want to relieve any and all concerns that you may have about what lies ahead. But certainly the way life has been led in the past several decades is no longer going to be the case moving forward. So you need to be as flexible as you possibly can and adjust with what happens in your environment, but also take some control and ownership of the experiences that you have on a personal level.
Thank you. Following on to the what's coming down the road, do you have any further advice or guidance, watch signs, for example, as to what sorts of things may be coming up shortly?
Perhaps the best thing to say at this point, from a general point of view, is that there is such a thing as duality in the third dimension, and there are the perceptions of dark and light and good and bad. And some of what you are experiencing currently with this flu that has been disseminated into different areas on the planet is actually coming from a man-made source, and there is an agenda behind this source. So we suggest that you educate yourselves as much as possible so that you can make counter moves if you so desire. If counter moves are not made, then they will have the prevailing influence, and they can and will cause quite a number of people to exit. This is a choice, and we are talking about potentials, not an actuality, but we do yet again suggest that you pay attention to what is going on around you, that you find alternative ways of getting news, perhaps from other places other than mainstream media. They are indeed under the influence of the same group that is influencing what is currently happening. So there are people that are willing to come forward and tell you what they know, and we suggest that, as always, you listen to this information with your own gut feeling and accept and reject what you feel is appropriate for you. And always listen with your gut. And the same is true for this channeled information as well. There are discrepancies between the dimensions, and there's also the perception of the third person in your dimension, and miscommunication can occur. So we strongly suggest that you listen more with your heart than with your head, and that you get a feel for. And if this information is too high level, please don't worry about that. Please just sit back and relax and absorb whatever is appropriate for you on an energy feeling basis. And we hope that that makes sense to you.
Thank you. One point of clarification. You indicated that things are occurring that are man-made source with an agenda, and I kind of applied that under, instead of directly as well. To be very clear, we're talking about people in the third dimension, not a spiritual force. Am I correct? Or which is more true?
Yes, we are speaking of the duality of the third dimension reality.
Okay, fine. I'd like to move to some other questions we have had queued up here, and I think this might be kind of interesting things. On a personal note, I'd also like to say a word about Dr. Holzer. He was, I followed him around quite a bit around the country. I've been involved in research for over 40 years, and so we go back about the same amount of time, he and I, which is quite sobering. And one of my first places I ever worked, he had been there quite just a bit after I came on, and it was rather interesting to compare what he found and what I had found. And so I kind of have a little bit of a connection to Dr. Holzer. I'm going to miss him also. Let's move now to a question regarding psychic abilities. This came on our radar recently. It has to do with handedness, left and right handedness. And the question was asking, does this have any relationship whatsoever to psychic abilities? Just to take a different tact for that.
Not necessarily. You may see a small trend there, which has to do with the way the brain functions and what is dominant. But just because you are right-handed does not mean that you will not have psychic ability. So it really has to do with a predisposition in the imprint and very little to do with physical parts of the body per se.
And following on to that, thank you, also has been asked if any form of drug, hallucinogen, cannabis, whatever, might either help or hinder contact with the spirit realm.
This is not something that we would recommend, because you are actually, depending upon the type of drug that you are partaking in, you are actually burning brain cells, which would not be good for your health. And so we do not advise that you use this to get into altered states. It is really not necessary. All you need to do really is to have an openness and to sit in a quiet space and to allow the communication to come forward. You also need to have a certain amount of trust that the communication you are receiving is coming from your higher self. Some people think that this is just their imagination, and so they are quick to dismiss. And it really is not of any consequence whether it is your imagination or whether it is your higher level guidance. They can be one and the same. So we suggest that you listen to the information. And just as we said before, that even the information that is coming through yourself, for yourself, that you listen with a skeptical ear. And we do not mean cynical. We mean that you question and you look for validation in other sources, and you look for other signs that that information might be accurate or perhaps slightly inaccurate. And the information can always be refined. So do not be so concerned about always being 100% accurate. It is a learning process and should be treated with a small sense of fun and exploration if one is desirous of doing this type of activity.
Very good. Thank you very much indeed. I'd like to move to a little different topic area now, which has to do with astral projection. I hear about this quite a bit, and various people have written about it. I'm wondering, from your perspective, what do you see going on when someone, quote, astrally projects?
This is indeed possible for some and not for all. So if you do not have the ability to do this, please do not feel that you are deficient in any way. There are some people that, such as this channel, that are not allowed to do these type of activities. It is really our concern that if she were to leave, she might not come back. And so that is always of concern. But what is happening under normal conditions, and we are speaking in general terms, and these are individual sets of circumstances, but in general, the person is able to get a certain amount of their spirit energy projected outside of their physical body. Now, this is not 100% of the spirit body. It is actually a percentage of, and the percentages do vary from person to person and circumstance to circumstance. But you will see small occasions of this when you are thinking of someone and you're walking down the street and you keep seeing people that look like them. This is an energy projection on top of someone else's physical body of their spirit body. And it is a two-way street in that particular case, in that the person who's walking down the street is desirous of connection with the person who also has the ability to project their spirit energy forward, and it connects at that point.
Thank you very much for that. Follow-on question, kind of implied in your answer already, but let me ask it anyway. Is astral projection related to ghost sightings in general? Is this really what many ghosts actually are, aside from what you mentioned previously?
I would hesitate to use the word most. I think not, actually. But is there a small amount that are actually that particular circumstance? Yes. And you will find anecdotal evidence of this, if you are to research it, that people will see, as the example that I gave, people will see someone who is very much alive projected into their reality. And so, yes, this does happen, but the energy patterns are not so different, though the person may have transitioned, they can still project energy forward. And so there is some commonality between what you would consider to be residual hauntings and the astral projection of a person. One is, as you might say, real time, where the other one is a time recording that is playing over and over. But the energy that is projected is similar in nature.
Thank you. Thank you for that. One last thing on astrals and astral projecting, which might be interesting to follow up with. In your experience background, can astral projectors move objects?
Theoretically, this would be possible if they also had some psychokinetic ability as well. This can transition forward into the projection. It is all energy. It is just a slightly different type of energy. So if you're asking if it is theoretically possible, yes, it is, but it is quite rare.
Speaking of moving things, changing things in general, another question we hear a lot has to do with remodeling and changing of things, and does this bring out spirits? Now, we oftentimes have people who are note something for a haunting experience or something like this, something paranormal occurs, and they connect this to a remodeling project in a home or in an office building, something of the sort. Would you concur, or do you have a comment regarding the fact whether or not remodeling, in fact, brings out spirits, and perhaps be able to offer some suggestions as to why?
This is a highly reported occurrence, and yes, there is some truth behind this. And what is going on actually is that if you are making physical adjustments to your environment, and there is a spirit person that is in visitation or in residence in that same environment, they will have to try and accommodate those changes. And as I have said before, the dimension where you go after you transition is a highly emotional dimension, as you can imagine. You do not have the constraints of a physical body, and so you are very heart-centered. And if you are remodeling a home, for instance, where someone has lived prior and they are in residence still or in visitation, they may not like the adjustments that you have made to their physical environment because they are actually able to perceive the changes that you are making. They will certainly have opinions about the changes that you make, and they may like some things and not like other things. It is more characteristic for them, as is human nature, for them to want things to remain the same as when they resided there. So you can wind up with an increase in activity, not only because these transitional changes have to happen on the spirit level with the spirit person, as well as the physical level, but they may also be providing some feedback to you as to the nature of the changes and whether they like these changes or do not.
I see. Thank you very much for that. The presence of disembodied voices over the years has suggested that some in visitation, at least, do not have an optical or a visual sense. We hear words like, "Where are you?" "Please come closer." It's almost like they're in their own space and time and are aware that we are there, almost as we are only mildly aware they are present. And I'm wondering about your comments on this. Is this a sensible interpretation of what's going on there, or is something else happening?
The best advice I could give you on this is to look at it from, as you just pointed out, the third dimensional reality. Some are able to perceive spirit people, some are able to hear them, some are able to see. The same is true in their dimension. Some are able to hear and some are able to see the third dimensional reality. And it is an individual skill set. And so it does not surprise us in the least that you would go into a location and find spirit people there that were not necessarily able to see you, but were aware of your existence. The same is true here and it really is not that different.
I see. Thank you for that. Wanted to ask regarding just in paranormal experiences in general. This has been a wide divergence of types of people and why people experience, or people who experience paranormal phenomena. And are there some key reasons that some experience paranormal phenomena while others do not?
This is a very complex question, but I will try and keep it shorter. The imprint that you come in with will have a disposition for these types of occurrences to occur, which does not mean that they will necessarily manifest. It just means that you have a predisposition. And as you go through your life and have your life experiences, you will find that these have occurred to almost everyone who has this particular imprint, and some will incorporate those as life-changing experiences and others will dismiss. Therefore, the odds of someone having a circumstance are very, very high. The odds of them reporting the circumstance or incorporating it into their day-to-day life would be a different level. And it also has a stigma associated with it, which is lessening, and we are very happy that that is indeed occurring. And so you will find that most people, if you raise the question first, most people will tell you of some experience that they had that they cannot explain. We hesitate to use the word paranormal because it does have a very interesting set of connotations attached to it. So let's just say an experience that they could not explain.
Thank you. It is interesting about the word paranormal, now that you mention it. Many people don't even realize that the term paranormal is actually a term from scientific philosophy, which denotes what was formerly called supernatural events. But at a point in time in scientific philosophy, the term supernatural became outmoded for various historical reasons, and a new explanatory category was required. And so this is where the term paranormal actually came from. Of course, it's moved from scientific philosophy into the lexicon of common speech and to become, as you said, quite distorted, and many other things have been lumped into the category paranormal, all of which, more or less, are, from a scientific perspective, not unexplainable, but more correctly, unexplained as of today. Moving on. Little question flew through here, and a couple of things here relate to history and relate to antiques and things like that. The first one has to do with battlefields. This resonated with me because I was recently up at Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, at the battlefield up there, wondering about. Why is it that battlefields seem to have so many ghosts? Is there something special about them, something unique? And are there other places like them?
As you can imagine, in a battle situation, emotions are very high, and death can be instantaneous. This is a ripe breeding ground, so to speak, for that type of activity to occur. There is a difficulty that can happen with the transition process on people that died in those particular sets of circumstances. The adrenaline rush is very profound during that time, and they have literally popped out of their bodies instantaneously, and they are disoriented and confused as to what has occurred. Literally seconds before, they were alive and well and fighting the good fight, so to speak. And there is also a sense of righteousness that comes along with these battles. They always feel that they are for the better good and the best intention. And once they transition, it looks a little strange to them that they would have actually engaged in that kind of behavior. There can also be a sense of shame that comes with that. And we have a lot of work to do with the people that are in this category to make sure that they drop that sense of shame. There is no need. It is all learning and there are no judgments. But they do have a tendency to judge themselves with a different set of eyes once they transition. And so these areas can be problematic areas as far as getting everyone transitioned successfully. There are also a percentage that really enjoyed the battle and the aggressive nature and choose to continue to experience that, and they do over and over again. You also have others who were there at that time who have now reincarnated back, some even to the point that they will dress in similar fashion to the way that they did when they were alive and fighting that battle originally. All of this keeps this energy flowing and keeps it sustained in that one area. It is actually coming from a multiple of sources, if you understand what we are saying.
So one implication you're saying is that at least some reenactors are in fact, could in fact be reincarnate soldiers who were one time were actually battling there?
That's correct.
What an interesting perspective. How interesting. You mentioned that enabling these people to understand that it's not really a judgmental process, or the judgment should shift during transition is quite important and occupies quite a bit of time in some cases. Would it be correct to say that, or does judging, this level of judgment one has, change as they transition from the physical realm to this intermediary area that we've come to traditionally call limbo or something like that, on into the dimensions that you reside in? Does this focus on judging change? Is it held on to less and less as people move forward, shall we say, or come home, to use another colloquialism, for those that do?
The judgment that one has of oneself happens during what is commonly known as the review process, and that's why it is called a review. It is not a judgment. That is religious dogma that will tell people that they will be judged for their deeds. But there are people that transition and do have that belief system, and we have to gently coax them into other ways of looking at the circumstances that were their life, their last life that they had led. And so, yes, over time and with counseling and guidance, they will see that it truly was all about the learning and that there is no shame, there is no judgment, and that they should actually rejoice in a life well lived, which is also why we say to those of you that are in the third dimensional reality that why not start now, no better time than the now, to be living the best possible life. And we understand that in the third dimensional reality you do have constraints, but you should always be keeping your thoughts on living the best possible life. And this will make the transition process when you exit so much easier. And if you consider yourself to be like an actor or on the movie screen, perhaps, maybe that will help you in realizing that they are playing a role, whether they are the cowboy with the black hat or the cowboy with the white hat. They are all just actors. And once the movie is over, the actor goes back to his true self. And that is the same as when you exit, you go back to your true spirit body self. And so you are just trying on different hats, so to speak. If that analogy is helpful to you, we realize it might be a little out of date, but we are trying best we can to give you information that you can relate to. So we hope that this helps.
I believe it does. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Staying with the historical theme for a moment, many people report having and creating strange experiences as a result, they believe, of bringing antiques and other objects into a home, or even perhaps just visiting a historic home or even an antique shop. For example, people have said they've heard sounds of indications of movement in areas where such things were. They might see someone that they know shouldn't be there because they're the only person in the place, or everyone else is known to be in another part of the building, things like that. And what is your perspective on such things where objects seem to cause, in some way, strange experiences?
The objects in your third dimensional reality can absorb energy, especially if it is a, want of a better way of putting it, a large bolt of energy, as in something that is adrenaline-based, highly emotionally based. And that can be positive and negative from your perspective. You can have objects that actually emanate a warm feeling to them and a loving feeling, as well as objects that may actually project for people that are sensitive what would be considered a negative experience. Those imprints do indeed and can be on particular objects. And so, yes, this can happen if you were to bring an object that has that imprint into your home. You may start experiencing some things that are unexplainable to you. You may also wind up with the person, if they are strongly attached to that physical object, they may come to you in visitation. And there again, we try to convey to you ahead of time that the attachment to physical objects is something that is very strong in the third dimensional reality, but it has no use once you leave. So if the person is in visitation because of the object, it's because they haven't quite gotten past that point, and that object is very important to them, and they are wanting to hold on to that object. There is nothing wrong with them doing that, but we do hope that over time that they will let go of that and move on to other things. But as we like to tell you, we are speaking in generalities about individual people, and each person has their own set of circumstances, and there can be very compelling reasons why someone would be very attached to a physical object. And we're sure that you can relate to this as well. You probably all have something that you would be devastated if that object were no longer around. So this is all very understandable, and this is what can cause these types of things to occur.
I see. Thank you. Is it correct to say that there does, in fact, though come a time, no matter who the individual may be, no matter what their intention may be, that in order to pass onward beyond that intermediate state we spoke of earlier, that they must let go of connections to physical objects? Would that be a correct thing, or is it a little more complicated than that?
Ultimately, that is what we would desire. As you can imagine, if you are still very firmly connected to the third dimensional reality, even though you don't actually so-called exist there anymore, it does impede your progress as far as if you wanted to reincarnate and come back and live another life. there has to be a separation, even though a small one, from the life that has been led prior. And there, you know, there again, it is not always a perfect set of circumstances, as we discussed earlier about those that choose to reenact a past life in their current one. You are actually seeing that they have not been willing to release that life, and they have chosen to come back and relive that life again in a little bit different fashion. So this is not always the case that one separates from one before starting another, but we are speaking in very general terms. There are always a lot of exceptions to the rule.
I see, and thank you again for that. What is your opinion regarding humankind's effect on the planet? Some have suggested that it's had an effect, positive and negative, on the planet as a whole. What is your opinion regarding this?
We do not really speak in terms of positive and negative, but we understand what the question is. And we would like to say that truly you can find both what you would perceive to be positive and negative influences on this planet. But we would also suggest that the positive really needs to be reinforced. For whatever reason, human nature in general tends to gravitate more towards the negative, especially in times when people are fearful. And so we are taking an opportunity to reiterate yet again that you need to spend as much time as you possibly can on rising above the perceived negativity that you see in your environment. But we have no judgment as to the effects of humans on the planet. They have a purpose, just as all the plants and animals also have their purpose. And it is not for us to make judgments. As long as you are learning, you are living your path, you are doing what you are supposed to be doing. So just continue. Adjust and change with what happens in your environment, and try and do that in the most positive fashion that you can.
I see. Is this negativism you speak of unique to the human species? Are there other species or other beings elsewhere who are not so?
That would be a true statement.
I see. We
as in, there are other...
Aliens are in contact. I'm very sorry. Go ahead, Meyer.
We just wanted to clarify, because the question could have been interpreted in more than one way. So we wanted to clarify that it is not just the human that has this duality in nature. By duality, we mean positive and negative perceptions.
Okay, fine. Thank you so much for that. That does make a little more sense, and is a bit more relieving, I must say. I was going to ask as well, we talked a minute ago about imprints, major events, and things like this, and wondering if in the future, as things change, which you've alluded to more than one time, would these future major events cause objects to inherit imprints as well? So would future survivors or future generations, whatever, actually be aware, perhaps even more so than today, that these events had occurred by virtue of imprinting on objects?
We are not clear what you are trying to ask. Would you please rephrase?
Certainly. We said earlier that major events can cause objects to inherit imprints. replied that major events are about to occur in the not distant future, but the future survivors of those future events tend to have more of an impression of the events that occurred because they have more objects around them that actually contained these imprints of these events that are yet to come.
We are still a little confused by the question. Perhaps the term imprint is being used in more than one fashion here. When we talk about imprint, we are talking about the human imprint, the DNA of the human. We think that you are referring to an energy pattern that may be placed on an inanimate object. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. I'm using the word imprint probably incorrectly from your perspective. I do mean an energy imprint, with that energy pattern, sorry. With that energy pattern then in turn be known or available or visible, perceivable by future generations of humans.
That would be an accurate statement, and actually when you talk about just something we mentioned earlier of Gettysburg, certainly those that visit there are aware of an energy pattern that is definitely from the past, and it is so profoundly strong that most people are aware or have a certain feeling about that particular location. You also included with that would have what you learned historically about that event. So not only do you have brain function happening as far as the facts and dates and what the history says occurred there, but you also have the energy of that area as well. And depending upon the level of sensitivity that you may have, you may actually see some of these people that are on the battlefield still to this very day. So yes, those energy patterns can and do continue on and can be sensed by future people, just as you can detect something from the past yourself. It is pretty much the same.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much. Sorry for that earlier confusion. And you mentioned sensitivity being a major factor. That certainly, from a human perspective, that makes sense. Some would be able to detect more readily than others. And in fact, that kind of generally supports the whole notion of perception, which is, it turns out, probably a matter of probability whether we detect anything or not in any given event, at least in the normal world with the five senses. And it really makes sense that it should be true also with what is called the sixth sense as well. Which in turn makes me wonder, and I know time is something more of our realm than of yours, as we've talked about before, but falling back on that crutch just for the moment, is it the case that time, over time I should say, that these events become less and less visible to us as physical humans? These energy patterns less visible, I should say.
Are you referring to the energy pattern itself or the perception of the human?
The perception of the human and the energy pattern, if they're different, I would be interested to know that.
As we gave the example of Gettysburg, we will stay with that same example. And we did explain to you earlier that there are multiple sources that are contributing to that energy pattern being sustained in that area. So as long as those energy sources are in place, that energy pattern will continue and will not dissipate. So as long as the history remains and people are able to avail themselves of the actual history, as well as going and actually visiting the site and feeling the energy there, it will all continue. If there should be a disruption in the history, such as we today would might think of, I'm trying to think of an example, perhaps Atlantis and whether Atlantis exists or it doesn't exist. We do not have what we consider to be concrete history as of its existence. Therefore, the energy pattern will have been disrupted, but it does not stop those that have that strong feeling that it does exist from going and trying to locate it and to search it out on an energy basis. So even though some of the components that feed into the energy might be missing, in this case the written record history component, there still is the verbal thoughts that carry from one generation to another that potentially this place did indeed exist. And so the energy patterns and the imprints do tend to carry forward on an individual basis. And if you were someone who actually lived a life during the time when Atlantis did exist, then you would have a little bit different perception in this lifetime as to its existence as someone who did not live a life in that particular environment, would have no background and would think that probably it did not exist because there was no historic record. I hope this was not too confusing.
No, actually, it's quite illuminating, as a matter of fact, and thank you. So if I could reinterpret just to be sure I've got it right and to synthesize a little bit, sounds like what we're saying is, at least in some cases, those who have a belief that something has occurred where there is no real physical evidence that it might have, there may be some sort of connection between their current life in the physical realm and potentially a life lived before or some other form of relationship to a previous life in that now unseen, unfound, but highly suspicious place that may have once existed. So these thoughts we have about things that might be, but yet are unproven, could have a root, you're saying, I think, in past lives. Would that be a correct generalization?
That would be an accurate statement, yes.
My, that was easy. Thank you. Okay, we're coming close to the end here. I don't know if we're having technical problems with Ustream or not, but if you'd like to ask a question, you may do so very quickly here. We will be closing momentarily, and that'll be just fine. I have one last question I'd like to ask here, and it kind of comes back to how we began the entire thing, maybe a good way to close it. We've said that quite a few changes are coming right now, that quite a few changes are coming to the Earth, could have interesting impacts to the future and what people perceive in the future, and that gave an example even of one of the things that's right in the news as we are recording this in late April of 2009. And what I'm wondering is this. Are we on a path of destiny? Are we on a path where things cannot be changed, or are we instead, as I think I read between the lines from what you said, both in this session and previous sessions, that change is in fact possible? So to reiterate, be sure to get that reiterated. And any final thoughts in your regard as to how we should refocus ourselves to have the best possible outcome going forward?
The destiny of the third dimensional human is no longer cast in stone, so to speak. We do realize that some people believe this to be the case, and it was at one time and is no longer true. So we suggest that if you have that energy pattern, that you might want to re-examine that. You truly have a lot to say about what you experience and how you experience it. And your perception and your thoughts and the way you receive information has everything to do with how you are experiencing your life. And truly, you will look in your news and you will see things that will make you very fearful. And the only reason that we can think of that you might be afraid is that you still have the fear of death. And we suggest to you that it truly is an exit, a transition, walking from one door to another. and that you not be fearful of that. So once that fear is set aside and minimized, we don't expect it to be gone entirely, but once it's minimized, it should be a very freeing experience. And so we suggest to you yet again that whatever it is that you have always wanted to do, whatever your passion or your joy or just something that you always wanted and you haven't done it yet, why not start today? Why not focus your energies on the things that you have always wanted to do? Time is short. Time is always short. You never have as much as you would hope to when you get towards the end of your life. And so don't wait. Those that thought they were waiting for retirement, for instance, are finding that that was a erroneous thing to be waiting for, because the fact is that the savings for retirement is predominantly gone. And so we suggest to you that the things of the material world, money and objects and possessions and those things, be put into a lower priority if you possibly can. And please just get with your life experience and what you would like to experience going forward. And always focus on what you want to experience, not on trying to avoid pain of past experiences. This tends to be a pattern that people get into of living life by what they don't want. And truly, in the way the energy patterns work, there is no differentiation. So please be careful about your thoughts. And it should actually bring comfort and joy to you to focus on the things that bring you joy and the things that you've always wanted to do. And don't be afraid to try new things and to change and grow. And don't worry about what others will think. Just go ahead. You have absolutely total freedom at this point to experience whatever you would like to experience. And so we suggest that you live in that space as opposed to being fearful of what may happen or the potentialities. We do also suggest, however, that you have a little bit of common sense applied and do not put yourself in harm's way. You do need to keep a practical sense as well. But just be playful, be childlike, and just go out and explore and do the things that you've wanted to do. This could be a very joyous time for you if you adjust your perceptions to that basis. And just go out and try. Don't be afraid of failure either. Just try, just experience and enjoy and have a little fun.
It sounds like wonderful advice, no matter what year, decade, century we might be talking in reality. I think we're going to close today, and I'm going to turn it back briefly for final comments from the connection.
We would like to thank everyone that participated today. The questions were of most excellence, and we do thank you very, very much. And for those that are listening to this in another time, you will find that it will be just as relevant at any time that you listen to it. It is truly timeless information, and we do suggest that you go back and look at any prior recordings, because we are trying to build one on top of another on top of another. And we hope that you will join us again, and we welcome your questions, and we really enjoyed our time with you today. And we thank you very much for your participation. And we also thank you, John, for your facilitation of the questions. Until we meet again. Conversations with the Dead is produced by Genesis Creations Entertainment. You can contact us at gencreations@aol.com or visit Bonnie Vent at bonnievent.com. Thanks for joining us.